City Council, Dr. Waggie, let's give the man his title, will be here on Wednesday. He has similar concerns. It is a Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. This hour, we go back down to Napomo, and we focus on the issue of water on the Mesa, or the lack thereof. Wednesday night is yet another community forum. I live in Napomo. A lot of people live in Napomo. We are all concerned about water, and we're all concerned about where we go from here. Anyway, good to have back on this broadcast Michael LeBrun and Ed Eby. Gentlemen, good afternoon. Thanks for being here.
Nice to be here.
Ed, take a second to introduce yourself, please.
Okay, I'm Ed Eby. I'm a member of the board on the Napomo Community Services District. There are five board members, and we have a general manager who is with us here today, Mike LeBrun.
Mike?
Yes, Michael LeBrun. I'm a registered professional engineer, Cal Poly grad, and I am, in fact, the general manager of the Napomo Community Services District currently.
All right, you had how many community meetings have you had already? Just the one, or was there more?
We had one in August, and basically what we did was explain the water problem to the residents. We had nearly 400 people attend, standing room only.
That's pretty impressive for Napomo.
Well, yeah. They
only turn up for high school football games, and that's it.
Well, they're learning that water is important to us.
Yeah. What's happening Wednesday night?
Wednesday night we're going to essentially have the second phase of that presentation. Before we talked about the problem, this time we will be talking about the solution. We have a water shortage problem, and we're looking at ways to solve it, to keep it from becoming a crisis. And we looked at very many options as to how to bring additional water into the Mesa, and we'll be talking about how those options and what conclusions we've come to and what the best way to do that is.
Is that the high school?
This is at Napomo High School. It'll be in Olympic Hall.
From 6:30 to 8:30 Wednesday night?
Yes.
Anybody can come?
Yes.
Everybody should come.
Is there a chance for public participation? I mean, what's the format? What's actually going to happen Wednesday night?
Right. There will be a chance for public participation. And what we'll lead off with is, again, a review of the problem, talk about solutions, things we've analyzed over the years as far as alternatives, and then discuss some about costs, put things in a general sense of what it'll cost folks, and then we'll end with questions and answers from the public.
Okay, so Michael, you're going to be doing the presentation?
It'll actually be myself and Director Eby and also Director Nguyen, who's another director.
Mike Nguyen?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And then there'll be a chance for questions.
Yes,
so people should come out. And what's the in case people can't make it, is there a website they can go to for information?
Yeah, the district's website is full of information on the supplemental water efforts, and that's at ncsd.ca.gov.
Repeat that, please.
That's ncsd.ca.gov.
Government websites are always so complicated. I don't know why they don't simplify this whatsoever.
I might add that our last presentation, the hard copy of it, is on the website. After we finish this presentation on Wednesday, we will put the hard copy of this presentation on the website.
And we can review the problem, and we can talk about the possible solutions, but what do you see as the timeline? What's your ideal timeline here, Mike?
Timeline, what we're looking at is we're building up right now to have a funding vote. And so ultimately, and that's why we're trying to educate our community, is that we will be asking the customers of the district and the other three water districts up on the Mesa to participate in this project, and by that we mean help pay for it. And so we'll be having that funding vote. We're gearing up to have that vote in the spring, late winter, early spring 2012. If we're successful, we'll be taking this project out to bid in the June-July timeframe and commencing construction by fall of 12.
So you're moving pretty fast on this.
Well, we are actually coming up to a point of decisions. We've been working on this project for something close to 10 years right now. So fast is a relative term, certainly.
And how does the election work? Is it only for property owners?
Right. What we're looking at is having a vote, an assessment vote, and that would be property owners, and they would be voting as to whether their property would be assessed to help pay for this project. So it would just be the property owners.
Mail-in ballot?
Yes, a 45-day mail ballot.
Yeah, simple majority or two-thirds?
It's a simple majority in the affirmative. So we've got to have 50 plus one, if you will, voting for the project.
What kind of challenge do you face? You see this as a slam dunk? Or is your work cut out for you?
Our work is certainly cut out for us. When you're trying to get people to come out and support a project, that's a pretty tough thing to do already in these times, certainly.
Ed, talk a little bit. We talked about this last time you were here, but let's spend some time and remind folks, what's the need? What's the urgency with this project?
Well, the problem is that our population has grown about 20% in the last 10 years. And we're using about 50% more water than we were 10 years ago. As a result of that, we're pumping twice as much water from our wells as is being replaced by rainfall. And the only source of water that we have is the aquifer that's beneath us. So all of our water is pumped from local wells. We're not like a lot of other places that have multiple sources of water where they pipe water in from elsewhere. For example, the city of San Luis Obispo has 5 sources of water from various lakes, reservoirs, and pipelines. We only have 1 source of water, and it is diminishing. The water levels are dropping, and we're right next to the ocean. And when you do the, when your water levels get below sea level, you invite seawater intrusion. Seawater comes in, contaminates your wells, and game over.
Are there signs of that now? Are we seeing contamination?
We have not yet seen it on the Napomo Mesa. But we're doing all of the things that you need to do to make it happen. Like our wells, some of our wells are below sea level. They're all dropping. And we are adjacent to the ocean. Los Osos was in the same condition. They do have seawater intrusion. It's as far in as 2 miles and advancing rapidly. Mm-hmm. A couple of years ago, Oceano was pumping below sea level. And as a result, they had seawater intrusion that came at least a half a mile inland from the ocean, and that was only about a mile away from their production wells. They backed off on their pumping because they could. They had alternate sources of water that they could rely on. They backed off on the groundwater pumping, and it solved the problem temporarily. We don't have that luxury. If we get seawater intrusion, we've got nothing to back off to. We only have the single source of water supply.
Mike, weigh in on this. What do you see the problem as being?
I think Ed's touched on it pretty well here, but I like to make the simple point that more sources equals more reliability. I think when we're talking about water resources, or many folks can relate to it when they talk about their investments, they talk about you never put all your retirement eggs in one basket. Well, and from the water resources standpoint, to have all of our resources simply tied up in a groundwater basin that is ever more threatened is not a very good reliability picture for water resources.
Ed Eby, Michael LeBron on the Dave Congleton Show talking about what's happening Wednesday night. I guess the immediate question comes to mind is, as a homeowner, as someone who lives in Napomo, what do I get in return? And not the water supply. I want to talk about growth. Do I get guarantees that we're going to do something to keep the growth in Napomo that has exploded under control? Or is this just another way of guaranteeing even more growth?
I'll take my shot.
You see where
I'm
coming from on that? There's so much growth in Napomo, and this has got to have fed the problem that Ed's just outlined. Okay, so we get some more water.
Right.
Now, does that mean we're going to have even more growth on the Mesa? Or in return, do we say, hey, let's get some more water for the people who are here now, and let's make sure we get the growth under control?
Right. I think the district's been long concerned with that. And when we look back to the early 90s, when the community voted down state water supply, I think many voted along that line of, hey, if we vote down state water, we can control or halt growth in Napomo. And the history shows us that was wholly unsuccessful.
Right.
The county, of course, is the development review and approval agency. Now, the district has come a long way with working with the county, and currently general plan amendments are not allowed. There are no amendments allowed to the general plan that governs the Napomo Mesa until supplemental water is in place. Mm-hmm. And then it's only allowed if we've got supplemental water that's specifically designated to that general plan amendment. Now, there is development that is allowed under our current general plan that would be allowed with or without supplemental water.
And I guess we should also remind folks, Michael, that there's more than one water company involved in all this.
That's correct. Up on the Napomo Mesa, there are what we consider 4 major water providers, and those 4 are all participating in this project. And then there are a multitude of very small water companies, anything from 2 properties to maybe as many as 20 or 30 individual properties that set up individual mutual water companies that supply just those homes. So.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Let's focus a little bit about the solutions that my guests are going to be putting on the table. After that, we'll start welcoming your phone calls. This is News Talk 920 KVEC, hometown radio for the Central Coast.
Dave Congleton Show brought to you in part by Toma Electric. Important projects come in all sizes for your project needs. Visit them online at tomaelectric.com or call 543-3850.
It is 420 on News Talk 920 KVEC, California headline news at the bottom of the hour. Then we'll open up the phone lines. We already have people trying to call in. Please hold off on the calls. I want to give my guests a chance to be heard. Ed Eby is here. Michael LeBrun also here from the Napomo Community Services District. Big community forum this Wednesday night, 6:30 at the high school. Come on by, and let's talk about the Napomo Mesa water shortage issue. And all sorts of stuff. And, again, gentlemen, the website for more information is?
ncsd.ca.gov.
All right, Ed, we talked a little bit about the problem in the last segment. Give us a sense of some of the competing options you and your colleagues looked at.
Okay, we've been looking at this problem for, 20 years. And various studies along the way have come up with various options, and we have a pretty good matrix as to what works and what doesn't. We have a chart called the top six solutions, and one of the first of those is the state water pipeline. Runs right through Napomo. Why don't we grab onto that? Problem is the train left the station in 1991 when the people in Napomo voted against that. Everybody subscribed to the state water pipeline. It's full. Everybody owns all of the water that's in it, and we didn't get on that train. We could get back on it now. It would cost us $64 million to buy other people's water. That isn't the best deal. We looked at a pipeline to the city of Santa Maria where we would hook up to their municipal water system. Santa Maria is close. It's a short pipeline. We could build it in 2 years. It's probably a $25 million construction project, and it's a reliable source of water.
We'll come back to that one in a minute.
And we looked at desal. Everybody says desal. Desal is absolutely the best solution, but the trouble is it's probably 15 to 20 years away. In terms of all of the permits you have to get maybe 15 different permits from 15 different agencies, not the least of which is the Coastal Commission because you have to go through their jurisdiction. And then you talk about anywhere from $100 to $400 million. And just look at what's happening.
$400 million?
$400 million is the cost of the Monterey's desal plant, and it's rising. If you look at Monterey and Santa Cruz, they're both about 5 years into theirs, and they're still stalled and studying, and the costs are rising. It's a nice, easy, simple solution in a lab, but in the real world, it's very expensive, and you need to go through a lot of hoops. One of the other things is building moratorium. Stop building. Well, that's great, except that we're already, the people that are here, and they're using water. They're using twice as much as getting replaced, and adding no new people doesn't we're where we are, and we're using too much. So you've got the people that are already here.
And how much time do we have? How much time do we have before this water Armageddon arrives?
We can't predict that. We can only
2 years, 5 years, 10 years?
I would say it's less than 10. Okay. Depends on if we had three bad years of drought in a row, it could bring it a lot quicker.
Okay. So given all the alternatives, what was chosen, Michael?
What's our chosen alternative is a pipeline to the city of Santa Maria. And again, just touching on when will the water Armageddon arrive, I think the point Ed makes is it has a lot to do with weather conditions, and being at the mercy of the weather is a tough thing and not a place to be when you're in a community water supply business. So we've worked, our alternative studies have pointed to the water pipeline with Santa Maria since 2004, and we updated that study in 2007, and again, it ranked that as our top project, and that's constructing a pipeline to connect as a customer of the city of Santa Maria, so we'd receive the same blend of water that the customers in Santa Maria receive. The pipeline would connect physically along Blosser Road in Santa Maria and come underneath the Santa Maria River. and then up onto the Napomo Mesa, where it would then come into the Napomo's existing distribution system and be supplied to our customers and also
supplied. So would Santa Maria be selling us their water?
Santa Maria would be selling us their water. We've negotiated a wholesale water agreement that the district and the city of Santa Maria signed back in January of 2010. And so that's in place. And then, again, the water would be delivered to the district's water system and then wheeled through or delivered through to the other water providers as well.
And you're suggesting this could be done in less than 2 years?
Yes.
Does the Coastal Commission have any say on this?
No. Our permits are number of agencies that do, but I think probably our most difficult permit is with Department of Fish and Game as we cross the Santa Maria River. But as I mentioned, we will actually be drilling underneath the Santa Maria River, and that relaxes our fish and game permit quite a bit.
All right, so I guess the big question, how much is this going to cost us, Michael?
The project right now is estimated at about $25.3 million. That's the construction capital cost. When you break that down to the individual customer on a monthly basis, that's a $20 to $30 a month cost to an average Napomo customer.
What do you think? What do you think, Ed?
Well, I think we're on the right track. That $25.2 or $0.3 million that Mike just mentioned, we got a subtraction to that. We just got a state grant for $2.3 million, so that reduces that by close to 10%. The cost that he was talking about to the individual customers, if you have, say, a 0.35-acre parcel, your cost will average $20 to $30 a month if you're in the NCSD, a little bit more if you're in the Woodlands area, a little bit less if you're in Golden State's area, and a little bit less if you're in Rural Water Company's area. Mm-hmm. So it depends on where you are, depends on the size of your parcel and the zoning. But generally, for the average Joe, it's going to be $20 to $30 a month.
So what happens if you lose the vote? I don't want to jinx anything here. Well, what happens,
thanks,
Michael?
It's often asked. If we lose the vote, then my board of directors, the district's board of directors, would have to step back and make a policy decision as to whether we want to come forward and try to raise our rates and fund the entire project on rates. And if we try to do that, then it would result in yet another vote. And then ultimately, if we're unsuccessful raising the funding to build this project, then the district is we'll go back to the court and say, we've got one source of water, we've given our best effort to supplement, and
humor me on this, because I don't know this process. Why don't you just raise the rates? Why bother with the vote? Why spend all the money on PR? Just raise the rates.
Both processes, raising rates either by direct raising rates or property tax assessment, require a vote of the public. So,
so you have to come back and get another vote.
That's correct.
So what if you, again, I'm just humor me, what if you lose that vote? Because if they don't vote for one, chances are they're not going to vote for the other.
Agreed. And if we're ultimately unsuccessful in securing the vote we need to get the financing in place and build this project, then the district sits here with one source of water and, I guess, waits, as you said, for water Armageddon.
So this could be another Los Osos where the voters had a chance to do something years ago at one rate, and they didn't do it, and then the cost went up.
That's what we're trying to tell our customers is we need to deal with this while it's a problem, not wait till it's a crisis.
Yeah,
because while it's a problem and its solution is $20 to $30 a month, you look at some of the Los Osos costs that I've heard, and they're like $300 a month for their sewer. And
we just had a show on Friday, and the people, they're getting their bills. They're like, how are we going to pay this?
Yeah. So I think that I hope that our customers will be looking at the Los Osos case and say, look what happens if you wait till it's a crisis, solve it while it's a problem. It's a lot cheaper.
And if I may add, the community did, again, back in the early 90s, have an opportunity to participate in the State Water Project directly. And folks who were around at that time will remember the costs were much lower than what are being discussed today. And so I think there is
that why they rejected? I don't remember. Is that why Napomo rejected State Water, because of the cost?
No, I believe, and again, I was just new to the county at the time, but much of the vote on state water went down the lines of development, and that folks felt that they could curb or control development if they simply voted out state water.
All right, Ed Eby, Michael DeBrun on the Dave Congleton Show, talking about Wednesday night, the big community forum, and the pressing issue of water on the Napomo Mesa. Here's California headline news, traffic, your phone call still to come. I'd stick around. This is News Talk 920 KVEC. It is 4:35 on News Talk 920 KVEC. Happy Monday. Welcome back. I'm Dave Congleton. Let's check in with Marty Hall. She is in the McCarthy Traffic Center. She's got the latest in time saver traffic and weather together. Marty.
Thank you, Dave. Everything looking A-OK out there on the roadway. No incidents to report. Very nice late afternoon here. We've got clear skies tonight, lows in the 40s, and clear sunny skies on the way for tomorrow. Coastal Valley areas warming up to 70, and out on the coastline and up in the North County, we're looking at both 66 degrees out there. And so another nice day on the way. From the McCarthy Traffic Center, before you sell or trade in your vehicle, see why you get more for your car at McCarthy's. McCarthy's, love what you drive. Let's get back to Dave Congleton now.
All right, Marty, thank you very much. On Wednesday, Congresswoman Lois Capps will join us, and she'll take your phone calls. Tomorrow, conservative activist Mason Weaver is speaking at Cal Poly. He'll speak here first. During the 5 o'clock hour tonight, Jack Jones, Don Morris talk about Hoyt Vandenberg. It is a Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. We are back with Ed Eby and Michael LeBrun from the Napomo Community Services District. For folks just tuning in, let's remind them, please, what's happening Wednesday night.
Wednesday night we'll be having a town hall meeting to talk about our water problem and take that conversation a bit further and talk further about our solutions that we've been studying and coming to in the Napomo Community Services.
High school at 6:30. Be there.
High school 6:30, Olympic Hall.
Before I start welcoming phone calls, how comfortable are you with this $25 million cost figure? Meaning how accurate is it? How valid is the research behind it?
The engineering designs right now are at 90%. That's what that cost estimate is based on, is a 90% engineering design. As we take those to 100%, we'll update our engineers' cost estimates, but we feel very comfortable that we're right in that $25 million. We might bump up a percent or two, but certainly on the south side of $26 million for the capital cost of this project.
All right, we welcome your phone calls, 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. If you'd like to participate in this conversation, we'll start with Pat in Napomo on KVEC. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
Hi.
Mike, I have a comment. First, we hear that undeveloped properties may be invited to opt in on this project. Now, I kind of assume we can get a list of these undeveloped properties. Maybe LeBrun could please confirm that. But my question
is... Hang on. We'll come back to you. Respond to that one, please, Michael.
Right. Both undeveloped or vacant land and underdeveloped properties within the district would be assessed based on their development potential for participation in this project. So,
But they have the option to opt out, I understand. So I want to know how many total votes in benefit units are you expecting from the undeveloped properties, and what's the percentage of the total assessment that they will pay?
Well, the total number of underdeveloped and undeveloped benefit units that we're estimating right now is on the order of 25% of the benefit units that the projects that's envisioned to spread out across. Does that answer your question, Pat?
Is that all of the? Is that just NCSD's portion, or is that all of them?
That's across the board. If you take all the benefit units between the four water purveyor districts, about 25% of those are underdeveloped or undeveloped land. Now, the only exception to that is out in the Woodlands Mutual Water Company, because that community is being developed under a specific plan, and it is being assessed as if it was fully developed. So all those parcels, even though they're undeveloped, will be assessed as fully developed.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Pat, thank you very much. And again, and also to clarify, we talk about the Mesa, but this is just the Napomo part of the Mesa, right? If you live in Arroyo Grande on the Mesa, are you affected?
Yes, you are. Actually, okay. The Napomo Mesa, what we're talking about is that physical Mesa, which is that elevated area of land. And it does, in the north area, those that part of the Mesa, their mail goes through the Arroyo Grande post office box. It's all right. Unincorporated
so
area.
So if you're on the Mesa, you're affected by this. You'll have to pay for this.
If you're in the Rural Water Company, that's up in the northern area, you typically have an Arroyo Grande address. Rural Water Company, Woodlands Mutual Water Company, Golden State Water Company, or Napomo Community Services District. If you receive your water bill from one of those four companies, you will be asked to participate.
Liam is on the Mesa on KVC. Hi, Liam.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I've got a simple but two-part question, and I heard just a few minutes ago part of the answer, and it really goes back to the thing that's puzzled me for several of the meetings I've gone to.
Okay.
I go to the meetings, and I listen to the presenters on the other side who continue to show everyone what they say the real numbers are in the $300 million range. You continue to talk in the $26 to $70 million range, and you know what I'm trying to do is specifically figure out where their numbers are wrong. Because if you're right, I have less concern for this project. But if they're right, there's not going to be any taxpayer money left for a regional solution like DSAL that would benefit everybody in the South County, not just your tiny community. And lastly, if these other folks are right, and I think they are, my new cost for your idea would be in the range of $300 a month for the next 3 decades. And that'd be tough to sell my house when I have to disclose that. And then on top of that, we just got a 58% increase over 5 years for the water. And, you know, those numbers are tough. How do we get you folks in the same room with them to see if someone can convince me and a lot of other people that, you know, it's like a Shakespearean play. It's much ado about nothing, or it's a hell of a big number at $300 million.
Has there ever been a joint conversation between you guys and the opponents?
Yeah, that's one thing I'm thinking would be good for all of us that are affected with this. If we could get you folks in the same room together,
I'm trying to get a response to that. Hang on, Liam.
There has not been a meeting that we did concurrently with the opposition.
Well, let's try that. How are the cost figures so far apart? If they're saying way up there and you're saying no, way down here, how can they be such a disparity?
We're talking about the costs, which will be the assessment cost, the things that people are going to be asked to vote on. That is the number that's going to be $20 to $30 a month for NCSD customers.
Right.
It's not going to be $300 a month. You're going to get a chance to see that on the ballot when you vote on it. It will say exactly how much your assessment's going to be. It will be $20 to $30 a month.
But how come they're so – how are they so way out? What are they doing wrong?
If you want to exaggerate the nature of this project, you could add up the water costs, all of your water bills for 30 years and say that's the cost of the project. That's not the cost of the project. That's the cost of your using water. If you wanted to do the same thing, you could add up the cost of your electricity for 30 years.
So there's the cost of your project,
right.
And then there's your water bill each month.
Yes.
Now, they're two different things.
Yes.
You're focused on the cost of the project.
Yes.
The opposition, apparently, is focused on the cost of the water bill.
Exactly. But what they leave out in their calculation of the 30 years is what the water would have cost if there were no project. The water would cost still $250 million over 30 years if there were no project.
All right, Liam, thank you. We've got John and Roy Grande on KVEC. Hi, John.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Hey, John.
Ed Eby started out talking about the water shortage problem. And on the web, on the NCSD website, there's a technical memorandum that was dated June 13th of this year from Wagner and Bonsori, who is a civil engineer company specializing in hydrology and groundwater.
Okay.
And they have put together a analysis of the aquifer starting in the mid-70s, both spring and fall, what the total calculated water levels are. And in 1976, that was 82,000 acre feet. In the spring of 2011, it shows 87,000 square feet of water in our aquifer. So, you know, there's 35 years of all of this talk about growth, but there's 5,000 more calculated acre feet than back in 1976. So
how do we explain that? How do we explain that, guys?
If I may, I think our caller's taken, John's taken a picture in time, so he's looking at 1975 and then comparing it to last year.
Right.
And the fallacy in that is that when we look at a groundwater supply, we consider that long-term average rainfall will help us dictate what that groundwater will supply over the long term. So some years, when you look at some years that are wet years, and you want to compare those peaks, but we have to consider the long-term average, and that's where we get that specific or dependable yield of the basin that tells us, hey, you can't pull out more than 6,000 acre feet of this basin over the long term, year after year, without getting into some sort of crisis. We're pulling out 12,000 now.
John?
Well, but you make the argument that the population growth has been tremendous over these years, and still in this spring we have more water than way back 35 years ago. So I'm not sure that if I can use the phrase holds water, because it doesn't make sense to me.
Right. So this spring, after we've had a particularly wet year, about twice our average rainfall that last rainy season that we had up on the Napomo Mesa, our water levels are up. But what we're seeing, the disturbing trends of this are that we see those valleys, those depressions coming quicker because our demands are higher. So as our basin does recover well after a nice wet year like we had last year, it's falling quicker in subsequent years if we have average rainfall.
Anything else, John?
No, that's all, Dave. Thank you.
I appreciate the call. 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. For Ed Eby and Michael LeBron on the Dave Congleton Show, we've got Bill in the Pomo on KVEC. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Hi, Bill.
How are you doing?
We're good. How are you?
Well, I'm probably going to repeat a little bit of an earlier question, but I didn't get quite the answer I expected, so let me try again.
All right.
There's a lot of people on the Mesa who oppose this pipeline for valid reasons, and the Mesa Community Alliance has held three informational meetings where NCSD has been invited to participate, and they've declined. And, in fact, they declined to participate in any public forum. Yet the voting public needs to hear both sides of any argument they're going to vote on. So why is NCSD hiding or avoiding the debate or these type of public forums, and what can we do to get one? Maybe
would you guys do a debate?
Maybe Dave would like to be a moderator for us.
I'd be glad to. You guys want a debate?
Yeah. I'm for it.
I guess we're in struggle. This is Michael. Hey, Bill. The opponents of this project, again, I think the $300 or $400 million example is a perfect one. There's no basis when you're talking about a capital project taken in front of the community to call it a $300 or $400 million project by including the water that one person would buy over a 30-year period of time. So we don't feel like the opposition is using really a true factual basis for discussion. That said, the district has had you asked early on, Dave, is this your first or second town hall? This is our second town hall meeting. However, the district is a public agency, has been discussing this project in the public forum and making every decision in the public forum for the last decade. So we always have that opportunity at our regular meetings. We welcome the opposition to come. I think we have good, solid answers to counter.
But we could do a forum at Trilogy sometime. It wouldn't have to be. We could keep it under control. People would be civil, submit their questions on paper, think about it. We think about it.
Absolutely.
All right, they'll think about it. Bill, that's all I can guarantee. They'll think about it.
Thank you, Dave.
All right, Bill, thank you. We got Arlene in the Pomo on KVEC. Hi, Arlene.
Hey, hi, Dave.
Hi, Arlene.
Hi, I've been listening to this this exchange, and it's really fascinating to me. I have a question, but I do have a comment about some of the dialogue that's gone on about costs, because I understand on one hand why the NCSD is trying to be talking about the assessment district costs only, and why they feel that adding water costs is perhaps not a prudent way of approaching the cost figure. However, I think we're still getting half a loaf here, and I guess what disturbs me is that things like the operation and maintenance costs of a pipeline are not being discussed. They're strictly talking about the construction costs, and I know there are other costs involved. I just can't believe that we're only talking ultimately of $25
million. All right, pause. Hold that thought for a second.
Sure.
Are there additional costs? Is she right?
She's right. There are operational maintenance costs, as Arlene's outlined. We have those estimated right now. An average Napomo customer receives a water bill of $100 every 2 months, so it's about $50 a month. Right now we're looking at about a 5% increase in that, so about $5 every 2 months, or about $250 a month. So what we talk about is a $20 to $30 capital project cost and about $2.50 a month additional to our average water customer.
So that's $2.50 additional because of the supplemental water.
Okay. Right.
And then the total other cost is the assessment cost, and that's the $20 to $30 a month.
Arlene?
Here's my problem. All that's well and good, but when we're listening to the NCSD talk about costs, and they start out by talking about construction costs only, and I ask a question about operation and maintenance, and then we hear, yes, there's some of that, we don't know what we don't know, and yet we're being asked to take this on faith. That we're being told the whole story, and that to me is problematic as somebody who's faced with trying to make a decision here, you know, whether or not I even agree with the whole idea that this is in fact supplemental water, which I don't personally agree it is, but I know it's trying to be sold that way. I still think, you know, we can't go on trust. We need to know what the costs are, and if we have to add, I mean, you signed a water agreement, NCSD, with the city of Santa Maria, for how much? $1.7 million a year for water, whether or not we take it and need it or not, whether or not we have enough water and we have to drain it or not. There are so many questions about costs that I think it's disingenuous to just get onto a radio show and talk about just the assessment. So that's my comment. But okay. My question has to go in a totally different direction, and that is I'm a rural water customer. And the problem that I see is rural water customers are being asked to participate in both the increased water rates and the tax assessments associated with this project, and yet we will not even be connected to the pipeline. I understand we're 1.5 miles away from the pipeline, so we will get no benefit, but you're asking us to pay for it. So can you please explain that?
Is that true?
That is true. Rural water customers at this time will have the opportunity to run a mile and a half pipeline and connect to the district system, take a direct delivery of water, but they will be asked to participate whether they take the direct delivery of water or not.
What's the thinking on that?
It's actually true for the Woodlands Mutual Water Company as well. They don't perceive taking the water directly. The thinking on that is that the idea is to bring the basin back in a balanced health position, and by doing so, frankly, all the water users across the Mesa would benefit at some level, whether you're directly connected or not.
All right, Arlene, anything else from you?
Well, yeah, I guess you can see the unfairness of it, and we are going to be asked to vote, and I suppose that's the fallback position. 380 homes here, and even if 100% of us said this is not fair, we're not even going to be connected. It won't make any difference because we're such a small population. So from somebody sitting over in Rural Waters District, this whole thing really seems totally unjustified and almost smacks of taxation without representation because we don't even have a member on the NCSD.
I appreciate the call, Arlene. Thank you. How can she get representation?
Through her vote, she will have an opportunity. The property.
They'll get a board member. Anywhere they can get a board member.
No, the board members are elected by the customers in the Napomo Community Services District, and Arlene's Water Company is a private water company, and her representation is through the Public Utility Commission, I believe.
As far as hidden costs, there's nothing hidden here. The assessment, you will see it when you do, when you get your assessment ballot. It will be the $20 to $30 per month. The cost of the water over the years, you'll see that on your water bill. You have the right to protest that if there's an increase in the water bill.
Ted's in Napomo on KVEC. Hey, Ted.
Hey, Dave, we've talked about this before, and I still don't understand. You got state water running down Thompson Road, goes to Santa Maria. Santa Maria gets state water. Why can't we put a valve there, pay Santa Maria, pay the state a couple million dollars, and save $15, $20 million instead of running a water line underneath the river?
I need a short answer. Thank you, Ted.
All the water in that pipeline is spoken for. We could buy it back from somebody. It will cost us $64 million as opposed to this $25 million project.
We'll come back and get final thoughts from my guests. This is News Talk 920 KVEC. Jack Jones, Don Morris, join us after AP Radio News and look at traffic with Marty. Thanks to Ed Eby and Michael LeBrun for being here. Michael, one last time, please, what's happening Wednesday?
Yeah, Wednesday night we'll be having a town hall forum at Napomo High School's Olympic Hall from 6:30 to 9:30 to discuss Napomo Mesa water problem and solutions.
Ed Eby, final thoughts, sir.
We're running out of water on the Napomo Mesa. I think reasonable people realize that we have the best solution with this pipeline. It won't be cheap, but it will be more affordable than if we wait until the problem becomes a crisis. Our $20 to $30 a month is certainly more affordable than the low social sewer assessment of $300 a month. I think the owners on the Mesa will do the right thing for themselves and vote for this assessment district.
Michael.
Just want to speak to the fact that more sources of water equal more reliability for that water. 20 years ago, this community had an opportunity to participate in the state water project and voted not to. In 2012, the community will again have an opportunity to diversify its water supply sources and increase its supply reliability off into the future.
Wednesday night, 6:30 at Napomo High School. What's the website again, please, Michael?
That is ncsd.ca.gov.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. Keep us posted.
Thanks, Dave.
News traffic.